do ask a continued interest in your prayers. Certainly did enjoy studying this psalm this week. Pray the Lord will bless us to convey that same joy as we look at it tonight. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. My title is Only God is Our Rock and Our Salvation. Now, we know that's right, don't we? But like Brother Kenneth prayed, sometimes we can let that slip, can't we? So it's a good thing for us to remember all the time how prone we are to put too much trust in ourselves and others. You ever done that? But remembering that it is only the Lord who can save us keeps us focused upon the true source of our help. I don't think there's any time that we question that there's anything else that can save us. It's just that in our mind, we sometimes take little trips and leave the Lord behind. So this psalm is a good, all the psalms are good, but this one particularly is good to help us remember that only God is our rock and our salvation. This is to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Here's another psalm which David wanted to be sung for encouragement and appointed it to Jeduthun, as is also Psalms 39, 77, and 89. All right. Jeduthun is mentioned by name in 1 Chronicles 16, 42. Okay, give you a little background there. The psalm begins, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Is there anywhere else? Only from him, right? So we're going to live our life every day that we acknowledge that and others can see that, right? All right, we'll take that. All right. "Truly," he says, not half-heartedly, but his soul waited and trusted in God with undivided devotion. Boy, what a great exhortation already. Undivided devotion. Now that's the challenge, isn't it? We live our life. We've got responsibilities, we've got things claiming our attention. We've got frustrations, we've got all these things going on, and yet he above all others is worthy of our devotion, of our adoration, and it's his will that we need to seek to please above ours. That's the challenge, isn't it? Not half-heartedly, but his soul waited and trusted in God with undivided devotion. When we're thinking clearly, we know this, right? Okay? That's why it's good for us to speak to one another on a regular basis. It's good for us to be in the house of the Lord every time we can. It's good for us to be around God's people. It's good for us to remind ourselves of his word. It's good for us to read his word, and we can listen to preaching or something like that. Whatever way we can expose ourselves to the Word of God and godliness and God's people, it helps, doesn't it? What if you only had this privilege once a month? What if you couldn't read and you couldn't read the Word of God and all you got was once a month getting together and hearing and enjoying some fellowship? Well, you know, if that's all you had, you'd appreciate it a lot more, wouldn't you? Thankfully, we've got many more opportunities than that. Okay? But how often do we place far too much confidence in other things? David gives credit where credit is due. Okay? That from God comes our salvation. Now, as old Baptists, we understand salvation is, in some regards, sometimes when we're speaking of salvation, we're talking about what Christ did for us upon the cross. That's a finished work, isn't it? There's nothing that we can add to that work. But every day, we need to be saved from ungodly influences. Every day, we need to be saved from ignorance. Every day, we need to be saved from temptations. Every day. So, it's not like, you know, sometimes we struggle. I prefer to call it a timely salvation. Some people are very confused by that comment, but concept, but I don't know how else to describe it. It's something that every day we need. So we'll leave it at that. All right? And so when David speaks of from God comes our salvation, then perhaps many of the times that we read that in the Psalms, we're talking about the daily deliverances that David needed. But that inward creation, that new creature in Christ, understands that this world is just temporary. Someday we're going to be blessed to be in heaven's pure world where we'll never need that daily salvation anymore, because we'll have it in its fullness. But right now, we need to be reminded of God's grace. We need to be reminded of His goodness. We need to keep our minds stirred and keep our thoughts upon Him. All right, so David gives credit where credit's due, that from God comes our salvation, whether it's daily or whether we're speaking of the eternal aspect of it. Thus, he says, my soul waiteth upon God. Well, now he's talking about the timely part, isn't he? Okay? My soul waiteth upon God. In that expression, we find confidence to wait. Trust for the best possible outcome. Rest from anxiety. Okay, hope for the days ahead. So in other words, our faith is in God alone. Now, we went through a lot of things there. We find confidence to wait. You know, sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. I know we've talked about the biblical waiting is serving while we're waiting, but it does involve some waiting, doesn't it? We don't like to do that, do we? There's enough other opportunities for us to wait, isn't there? Waiting in the doctor's office, waiting in traffic, waiting here, waiting there. We just don't like another way of waiting, do we? And then on top of that, we're in a instant gratification culture. We want everything right now. But sometimes, by faith, we just have to wait. But by faith, we have confidence in the Lord. All right? And we can rest from our anxieties, our worries. You know, I know there are times when we worry. There's times that it just comes on us before we stop to think about it, doesn't it? But again, if we're thinking clearly, if we could remember the Lord loves us, He's going to take care of us. Whether you're the one that turns on that TV and listens to the news nowadays, or whether you're somewhere that you can't help it and it's just blaring anyway, you know, there's plenty of things that's happening in the world today to get us all upset and get us all anxious about how things are. And so we have to constantly remind ourselves the Lord is the one who is in ultimate control. And the more we think about that, the more in control we are, because we're trusting in the fact that the Lord is at the wheel. There's a lot of things we wish were different. But I suspect that as long as we're on this sin-cursed earth, those things are going to continue. And the Bible says they're going to get worse and worse. There may be a few periods and places where we'll have some respite. But in general, I don't see this world getting any better. Do you? Oh, but thank the Lord that He is in control. So we can have rest from our anxiety. We can have hope for the days ahead. I'd like to say that, you know, and I know there's, I'm going to pick on Brother J.C. Stanlin. He's an eternal optimist. He thinks it's going to get better in this country. I hope he's right. I just don't think so. But we don't know. I mean, it's not up for us, is it? It's according to the mercy of our loving God, who has all power both in heaven and in earth. Now, if He wants to change things, He can change it.
That's right. And He can do it in the blink of an eye.
That's right. But He might not. All right? So, God didn't call us to change this world. Now, He did call us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth His praises. And we could do a whole lot better job of that than we are, couldn't we? Okay? So we've got some work to do. But whether it changes this world or not, we are called to be faithful to Him who is always faithful to us. He's far more faithful to us than we ever will be to Him. Okay? So we can have some rest from anxiety. We can have some hope for a better days ahead, whether it's here or whether it's over yonder. We can rejoice in what we have in the Lord. So in other words, our faith is in God alone. Only God can save us from troubles now and keep us forever. And He will. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that help you make it through the day? In those times when we do have to think about what's going on, and you know, who knows? I mean, let's just extrapolate a little bit and think, you know, we may have to be thinking about things we never thought about before. You know, who knows? But God knows. And so we trust in Him. And that's where our sanity will be as well, because we are secure in Him eternally, and He's our only help in this world. All right, verse 2. He only, by the way, as we go through the psalm, you're going to see that word only several times. That tells you something about the focus of this psalm, right? That tells you something about why I said only, I gave it the title, Only God. All right, He only, verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. Is that true? All right, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. David continues to extol the glory of our God and His salvation. God only is our rock. He's our help, our strength, our shield, all those other words and all those other things that David ascribes to Him in other psalms. He's our rock, okay? God only is our rock. Here, seems meaning a place of refuge where He had often literally hid Himself from His enemies. Remember, there were times that David was running for his life, and he had to hide in the rocks and hide in the caves. He literally needed a rock for his refuge. Now, you think about that for just a minute. We think about him being our rock, a firm foundation, something that we can stand upon that can handle the weight. But David had a little different perspective here. There were times that he had to hide himself in the rock. He had to seek refuge and protection and safety in the rock itself. What a wonderful picture of how we can flee to our rock and be safe from whatever troubles are facing us. Hide ourselves there. God is the only sure refuge we will ever have from all of our troubles. Now, if we'd carry that thought with us throughout our day, then we would more quickly seek for his help in troubles and for wisdom in decisions to have more saving grace to help our weaknesses. If we remember, and this is a good exercise for us to carry with us each day, is something that reminds us of our need of the Lord. If you want to have some token or whatever that you keep in your sight, the Jews did that. You know, the Jews had things written on their doorposts, and when they would go in and outside, in and out of the house, you know, they'd stop and they'd touch it, they'd rub it as a reminder. And it was some of the verses out of Deuteronomy, I believe, is what they traditionally would have written on that. They had something called a mezuzah. It had some of the law written on it, and they would put it on the wall and they would touch it as a reminder, a physical reminder. Nothing wrong with that, is it? Whatever it takes. If you need something to remind you of the Lord and his protection over you, and he's our rock and that he's our salvation, then it'd be worth your time and effort to find a way to have a better reminder of it. We do need it, don't we? All right, so it would be, we'd more quickly seek for his help in troubles, for wisdom in decision. How many times do we make decisions each day, and do we ask the Lord? You know, it doesn't take long to do that, does it? When you're faced with a decision, you say, Lord, what would please you the most? We need to be exercised in that kind of thinking. All right, so that we can have more saving grace to help our weaknesses. And how so? Because David said, he is my defense. Can you place your trust in anyone better? You know, he also said, the Lord's my shepherd. Could you find a better shepherd? Okay, so here, we're talking about the Lord being our rock, and there is none better in whom we can place our confidence, our trust. Look to him for the help we stand in. Anyone else will eventually disappoint us. That's why we have to be careful. It's wonderful to have good friends. It's wonderful to have your companion in this life. It's wonderful to have those that we can trust, but we have to remember only God can supply everything we need. Only God. People are going to come short. All right? So anyone else besides the Lord will eventually disappoint us. Not that they do it intentionally, it's just that we have our limitations. Okay? All right. But when we truly trust in the Lord, David said, I shall not be greatly moved. He may be hindered, he may be delayed, but he is confident that he shall not be moved away from what the Lord would have him to do. Notice the focus there. You know, I think we mentioned this a couple of times in going through the Psalms. Usually, the greatest source of our own frustrations is when we're trying to do something and it's not working out. And we get upset and we get frustrated because it's something we want to do. But when our focus is on the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? How did I need to go about this in the way that would most please you? Do you know the Lord's pleased with such a request? And His Spirit can lead us and guide us and help us along the way. All right? So David was confident here. His focus was upon the Lord and doing the Lord's will. And so he knew that as long as he was endeavoring to stay in God's will, that God would be pleased to give His Spirit to help him. It's when we get into our will we find the frustration. All right? And we don't have any reason to expect the Lord to continue to help us in our will, except when we're when our will is in line with His. Okay? This is the focus and commitment that many are sorely lacking in our culture today. Some folks are really like that, aren't they? And some folks like that are here tonight, aren't they? You know, let's don't get so removed from it. It can happen to any of us, can it? Okay? There's so much that we want to accomplish for ourselves that we have left the Lord behind. That can happen. But when we're pursuing His will, there's no reason to believe that we will be moved from it. Now, we're always going to have those tribulations. Jesus told us, in the world you shall have tribulation. But that's not where He left it, is it? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So our responsibility is to see how we can stay in His will and have Him lead us through the things that we need to do each day. How wonderful that David clearly expresses his steadfast confidence in the Lord before he begins to speak of his enemies. Else, it would appear to be boasting in himself. But he's given us this wonderful foundation, this wonderful focus, this wonderful confidence that he has in the Lord, that he'll not be greatly moved from it. And from there, he begins to speak of the enemies that he has. But with the understanding that David depends upon the Lord for his confidence, then we have a better appreciation for how he can contrast that with the confidences of evil men. Look at the contrast. Verse 3. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Ever seen a fence that looked like it was about to fall? Maybe you've had one or two of those. Or a bowing wall. You wondered, whoa, is that going to stand up or not? David likens evil men pursuing their own evil to these things. Okay? As evil men are never satisfied to be finished with their evil, they will continue in them until they are judged of the Lord. And that judgment is just as sure as the fact that the Lord's blessings will be upon those who trust Him. And while they go about their evil ways, they'll always be subject to falling because there's no strength to support them. For their rock is not as our rock. Remember that verse? I put Deuteronomy 32:31 because that's where that particular verse is. But three or four times in that chapter, Deuteronomy 32, he mentions our rock. Good chapter to read from time to time. God is our rock. And our rock, or evil men, what they trust in, their rock is not as our rock. Aren't you glad we have a rock that will support us, that we can flee for refuge and be protected? All right, verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. You ever met one of those? Don't like to be around those folks, do you? Again, notice the only. They only consult with whomever they will to obtain an advantage against others, to further their own cause, and to obtain whatever it is that their lusts desire, regardless of who or how much they may hurt others in the process. Now, isn't that the way of evil men? Especially the ones they hurt, especially those who are trusting in the excellency of the Lord's guidance. And so they delight in lies because it will get them what they want. Right? They bless with their mouth because it disguises their true aim. But all the while, their inward thoughts are really curses to those being used and abused. David contrasted that with his trust in the Lord. Now, only the Lord is our rock and our salvation. Continues in verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. David will now return to his own confidence that provides his peace and sanity. You know what that's like, don't you? Yeah, the things in this world can get crazy. Oh, but that's when you, if you feel that starting to happen, that's when you need to flee to the Lord. In your mind, that's where the battle rages so many times, isn't it? Not that it's imaginary, but there's so much that affects our mind. And it's with the mind that we need to trust and serve God. And so when we feel the craziness in this world, our hearts need to flee to the Lord. Okay? And after hearing and thinking of the deeds of the wicked, this is where our mind should turn. Now, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Right? There's plenty of things happening. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's already sufficient evil all around us daily without us filling our mind with more that we probably can't affect anyway. Sister Nancy tells me that every time I turn on the news. She doesn't want to hear that. Well, I don't want to hear it either, but I kind of need to hear something about what's going on in the world. You know, if Ebola has happened in Tumbleton, I need to know about it so I can run the other way. But there's plenty, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's plenty going on that we've got to deal with without keeping our mind preoccupied with so many things we can't change anyway. We just need to remember the Lord is our refuge and our strength. Other places he speaks of the Lord as our strong tower. We need to flee to him. And then ask him for the help and the grace, the strength that we need to deal with the things that we must deal with. because sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. All right? But turning your thoughts to God adds peace and sanity, because we know He is able to do all of His will in every day that comes. Doesn't that give you comfort? Nothing will ever be too hard for the Lord. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Isn't it a blessing to understand that that's the way God is? That He is sovereign.
That's the reason we got to hang on.
Yeah.
And we ain't got nobody else to hang on to.
That's right. You know, in our day, as we've said many times, we have to say that God is sovereign. But if we had a proper concept of who God, a proper understanding of who God is, we wouldn't have to say God is sovereign. We'd understand that. You know, it's kind of like saying water is wet. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Well, if we had a proper understanding of who God is, we wouldn't have to say God is sovereign. He's God. That's what makes Him God. Now, man wants to be his own God. But God rules over all. And what a blessing. He has purposed to save His people. He sent His Son who saved His people. He sends His Spirit into our heart to bless us to know it. He's in control. And yet, within what we commonly refer to as Christianity, the vast majority of them think that God's wondering how all this is going to turn out. That He's done all He can. I'm not trying to be critical here. I'm just trying to be a realist. That He's done all He can, and He's just wondering how many is going to accept what He's done. How much rest is there in that? How much peace is there in that? I don't need to have a part in the eternal salvation of others. It seems like there's so many that, you know, they could get fighting mad with you if you think that they don't have a part in that. Bless your hearts. God is God. He's taken care of His will. And we can rest in that. And I'm going to tell you, that is a great blessing that you're able to rest in that. It's not because you're so smart. It's because God is so good and He's merciful and He's revealed that to you. So we need to thank Him for it. We need to live in a way it shows forth our thanksgiving and gratitude for the mercy that He has upon us every day. Verse 6. Let's see. Very similar to another verse we've already covered. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. Okay. He is my defense. We've talked about that already, haven't we? I shall not be moved. Now, last time He said, I shall not be greatly moved. But this time He says, I shall not be moved. Again, David says that God only is our rock and salvation. Oh, that we would have such a steadfast and trusting heart toward God to remember that He and He alone is all our defense. Now, again, when we started out, it's not that we disagree with that. We just allow ourselves to let some things slip sometimes. And we get so involved in our own way and doing our own thing that we're not consciously thanking the Lord that He's the one that's in control and that we need to be following His will. And because of that wonderful truth, David says, I shall not be moved. Let me bring you to the New Testament. You know, when we study these Psalms, we have the blessing of being on this side of Calvary. David didn't have that. Now, David had the leadership of the Spirit, and everything that he said was right. But when we're discussing these Psalms, we got the Old and the New Testament. And we can talk about it from the benefit that it is to us as well as what it was to David. So I don't always make that distinction, but here I'm going to bring in some New Testament. All right, and I understand this is David didn't, he understood the principles, but didn't have this like we have tonight. But Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because of our God. That is, while we remember who our Lord is and what He has secured for us, then we faint not, but we trust. Now, isn't that the way it is? When we're thinking like we should be, when our focus is where it ought to be, and we're remembering how great God is, how merciful and gracious He is to us, then we faint not. But if you let that slip, you're going to be frustrated. When troubles come, you're going to be fretting. You're going to be anxious. You're going to get sick. That's why we need to keep our mind and our heart upon the Lord. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Knowing this saves us from despair if we keep it in memory. That's what I just said. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:2? Remember 1 Corinthians 15 where he talks about the longest subject or the longest lesson on the subject of the resurrection that we have in Scripture. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. There is a salvation in the gospel. Not eternally, but what we need each day to save us from despair. We need that every day. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about it. Think about it often. Think about it daily. It's like He's pleading with the people here. He knows. He knows how needful it is. He knows how sweet the refuge is. And He wants others to experience it. Here's the great exhortation for God's people. He already loves us. He already cared enough to give us His only begotten Son to save us from our sins. I mean, he had already purposed it in David's day, and He's done it in our day. Okay. David didn't have that privilege of knowing about Calvary except in whatever revelations God had given him. But bless your hearts, it was God's purpose even before then, wasn't it? And He's done it in our day. So tonight, we can rejoice in what He's done for us. Okay. So call upon Him in all of your troubles. Is there a trouble that's too great for Him? You know that. Oh, but let me ask you this. Is there a trouble that's too small for Him? No, there's not. But how often do we neglect to cast all our cares upon Him. I know, if you're like me, I know you've had that thought. I don't want to trouble the Lord with something so small. Listen, it is no trouble to Him at all. Go ahead. If it's a burden to your heart, you'll find peace in taking it to the Lord. Do it. Do it often. You'll never trouble Him. He loves us. All right? So call upon Him in all your troubles and find that sweet refuge that's available to all of His people. It's there. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity. Remember what vanity means? Empty, worthless. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. They don't amount to much, do they? Okay. Again, there's no help from those of low degree, and those of seemingly high degree are a lie, and they are not what they make themselves to be. When measured according to God's word, they're nothing. And so, verse 10, trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. What he's mentioned right there in that verse is a temptation in this world to so many. How often do we see oppression, people taking advantage of others for gain? But it's temporary, isn't it? Robbery. It's not a new thing, is it? No, not at all. And if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh, what a temptation that is. Every way evil men get their gains will come to nothing. Every way. Verse 11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. It was true when God spoke it, right? All His words are truth. He only had to say it once. We don't need 15 proof texts for it to be true. Whatever He says is right. Said it. God has said it. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. The ear may hear it, okay? But it's only when it's heard again in the heart that it's understood and believed that only God gives power to whom He will. God's word doesn't mean anything to those that are not born of the Spirit, but to the inner man who can hear the things of God. He has faith to believe it and embrace it and trust it. And so, you know, power, it says that power belongeth unto God. Boy, just, you know, I'm not a big student of history. The greatest interest I've had in history is from studying the Bible and going back and looking at history and how the Bible gives, in many respects, there's much history in the Bible. And what a blessing it is to take Bible and then go and see history, because I know this is the truth. And it's not a matter of whether I'm proving that this is right, but how my heart rejoices that when you can see history, and what you can see is that God gave it on open display for all to see, but without faith. We don't give God the credit for what he's done. I can look at history, knowing what the Bible says, and it's what a blessing it is to see God was working. He was working here, doing these things, intervening into the lives of men, bringing his purposes to pass. But without faith, somebody would just look at that and say, well, weren't they lucky? It turned out like it did. No, we're blessed. Aren't you thankful for the providence of God? We're not robots. He hasn't just ordained everything and predestinated the acts of men, but God does intervene to bring his purposes to pass. What a blessing. So verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now in verse 11, he said that power belongeth unto God. But aren't you glad that it's not just power that he has? And aren't you glad that he has all that power, because man that has a little power can get awfully corrupt, can't he? Give man a little power, and oh, how corrupt you see him. You know, I mean, we got ample displays of that in our day, don't we? But thankfully, God not only has power, but he's good. And as verse 12 says, he also has mercy. That along with that power, there's mercy. Oh, what a blessing. Unto thee, O Lord, belongeth, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. How thankful we are that God not only has power, but mercy. He only can save and give mercy to those who look to him, trust him, and call upon his name. And we know that the reason for that is because he's the one that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. A wonderful psalm reminding us that only God is our rock and our salvation.